Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is from Basra Daf Mem Dalid. We are holding on the very top of Daf Mem Dalid Amar Aleph. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. Also by Chani and J.J. Hornblass, in memory of his father, the Honorable Jerome Hornblass, Yaakov Ben Moshe, whose yard site is next week, and Hashem Shav Naliyah, and also by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Lila Nishmas, Mark's mother, Adelaide Friedman, whose fifth yard site is today, and Hashem Shav Naliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today, the entire daf is pretty much dedicated to the Braisa that we mentioned yesterday. The Braisa, just to refresh our memories, discusses the following. It says that if a person sells a bayis, machalo sada, then ein meid lo aleha, the mocher, the one who had sold that house or that field, is not able to be made that the field or house belongs to the guy who bought it, mipnei shachriyuso alav. And that was somewhat vague, exactly what that meant, because he has achrayus on it, and therefore he's a nogea be'edus, so he cannot testify about it. But machalo para, machalo talis, meyid lo alam, mebeisha ein achrayus alav. But we said if he sells him a cow or he sells him a talis, then he may be meyid about it because he has no achrayus for it. So the Gemara tried to figure out, well, what is the magic of a sada and a bayis versus a para and a talis? It's really about achrayus alav or ein achrayus alav. So yes. Yesterday we had the approach of Rav Sheshes. The Rav Sheshes said that the case was that Reuven sold a field from Shimon, and then Reuven turned around and Reuven stole a field from Shimon. Then Reuven turned around and sold it to Levi, and then Yehuda came and said, "No, it's my field." So Shimon, who was the Nigzal, cannot come and be made that it belongs to Levi, because of course he wants it in Levi's hands so that he can more easily get it back. That was the approach of Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara is going to question why Rav Sheshes had to set up the approach in such a way, such a convoluted way. Two things. First of all, why does Rav Sheshes assume that the Gazlan had to then sell the field? Couldn't he have assumed either that the Gazlan himself was holding onto the field and then Yehuda came and was Ma'arer? That's one possible alternative explanation that Rav Sheshes could have gone with. Or that instead of the Gazlan selling the field, that the Gazlan was Morish the field, that the Gazlan dropped dead and he was Morish the field Lebanav. So the Gemara is going to discuss why Rav Sheshes didn't want to go with either one of those explanations, and he had to come up with this more convoluted, more detailed case. Then the Gemara is going to quote another explanation of the Braisa, not Rav Sheshes' explanation of the Braisa, that of Rav and Bar Shmuel, which is going to be an entirely different explanation, and the Gemara is going to explore the ramifications of that second explanation. That's the whole daf. It's all about yesterday's Braisa and elaborating on the way we understood yesterday's Braisa. So the Gemara asked Rav Sheshes the following. Again, Rav Sheshes said that the Braisa that distinguished between Gazel, between Machar Bayis Usada on the one hand versus Machar Talis or Para on the other hand, that the Braisa was talking about a case that Gazlan stole a field and then sold it to someone else, and the halacha is that the Nigzal may not be made on behalf of the guy who had purchased the field because he's a Nogea Be'edus. So frankly, Gemara V'lokma B'Gazlan, let the Braisa say the din in a case where the Sada is still in the Gazlan's hand. He never sold it to anybody else. He never turned it over. Meaning, why does the Braisa have to come up with a more convoluted case that the Gazlan had sold the field to somebody else? The same din would be shayich even in a case where he didn't resell it to anybody else, but the Gazlan is still holding on to the field, and then Yehuda comes and is ma'arer that field belongs to me. That the din is that Shimon the Nigzal should not be able to be made for Reuven the Gazlan on that field, that it belongs to him because he's no gabadover, because he'd rather have it in the hands of the Gazlan and not go off to Yehuda, who he's not going to have a stronger case against. That is how the majority of Rishonim read this question of Alukma Begazlan, the Rashbam, the Ramban, the Ritva. However, there's one weakness in reading it this way, and that is that the Lashon of Alukma Begazlan, it would be more meduyuk to say Lisni Gazlan, that let it say Gazlan rather than Velukma begazlan, because we are mukma begazlan. Mukma begazlan means let's establish the case as being one that involves a gazlan. Well, guess what? We did. It's just it also involved another step. So that's a little bit of a funny lashon to use if you're just trying to take away one of the steps and the gzela is not the the gzela is staying the same. So Rabbeinu Baruch Tak has a girsa ihachi listni gazal, meaning when it say, if it were to say listni gazal, it's saying listni gazal and not gazal umachar. Just that gazal, right? That's the case itself. So answer Gemara Mishum to Kabayu Lemisna Seifa. The reason it had to have a case where he stole it and then sold it is because it wants to, the Braisa wants to write the Braisa wants to contrast this with the Para and the Talis in the Seifa. That the Seifa says Machar lo Para, Machar lo Talis. That if he sells him a Para, he sells him a Talis. That he is allowed to be made. That's the Dafka Machar. That's only if after the Gzela, Reuven the Gazlan sold the object that he had stolen to Levi. In such a case, when Yehuda comes and is ma'arer, that it really belongs to him, so then Shimon, the Nigzal, could be made on behalf of Levi, that it does not belong to Yehuda. Remember, he could not be made that it does belong to Levi, because then he's not going to be able to come back the next day to say, no, it really belongs to me. So that was the Yukimta we said yesterday in the Gemara. He can't say it does belong, he has to just say, it's not Yehuda's. I know it's not Yehuda's. And then the next day he can come claiming it's his, because even if it would stay in Levi's hands, Shimon would still not be able to be motzi miyado in the case of a para or a talis. So it turns out that he's not nogea be'edos at all. So the case must be that we know that Shimon was miyaish from the chayfetz when it was still in Reuven's house. Davle yeish v'shini rishus. So that then becomes a case where there was yeish bailim when it was in the hands of the gazlan, and then subsequent shini rishus when it was then transferred to a lokeach. So the halacha is when there's yeish followed by shini rishus, so then the lokeach is kona it. So the bailim is not able to come and be motzi miyado. So that's why Shimon is not considered nogea b'davar, and he's able to be made that the chayfetz does not belong to Yehuda, but rather that it belongs to Levi the lokeach. Aval lo machar, but in a case where Reuven the gazlan never turned around and sold it to Levi, Dahadrele, where then Shimon still has Shimon, the original Nigzal, would still have a taina on that chayfetz, would still have a hope of getting it back. So then, lo, then he would not be able to be made for Reuven about this chayfetz, because we're choshesh that he's no gea bedavar. So that's why we had to stick in that extra step of mechira, because that extra step of mechira is particularly important when it comes to metaltalin, because by metaltalin, that extra step of mechira turns this not just from Yeush followed by Shina Rishus. So Yeush followed by Shina Rishus, that's where the magic happens. That's what makes everything happen. Now, there happens to be a Gemara in Baba Kama Kufi Yudal, where there's a Machlokas Amaraim, whether you could be Kona Chayfetz Al Yidei Yeush alone, but Yeush for Shina Rishus, everyone is Moda, that you could be Kona. There is a Machlokas, maybe you don't even need Shina Rishus. There's also a further Machlokas on Kuftas Vav, if a Lokech could be Kona Chayfetz when the Shina Rishus was prior to the Yeush. But over here, talking about that the Yeish happened and then there was a Shini Rishus, which is, everyone is Moda. That's what the Rashbam points out. That's not a debate, right? So that's why the Gemara is talking about a case where it's going to be Pashut, where everybody is going to be Moda. Now the reason that at the end of the day Yehuda is going to be able to who's Ma'arer is going to be able to get it from Levi, even though there was Yeish and Shini Rishus, is because we're talking about a case where we only know that Shimon was Miyaish beferush, but Yehuda we never heard was actually being miyaish, and therefore stam gezela in about misyashim. Right, that's what the Chumash Olam Eish points out. Meaning, if there's yeish and shirushus, there are two people that want to claim original ownership of this item. There's the original nigzal who is stolen from, and then there's Yehuda the ma'arer who's coming. You know that the nigzal is testifying against, who's coming to claim that it's his. Well, if you're going to tell me the nigzal is not nogea b'davar because there was yeish and shirushus, that he had yeish plus then it was transferred, so he's never going to get it back. Shouldn't we say the same thing about Yehuda? Yehuda's coming to be Ma'arer, but there was a Shinu Rishus after, there was a Shinu Rishus after he lost it also. So shouldn't we assume Yesh and Shinu Rishus Klape Yehuda? So that's what the Sholem Yeshiv says. You can't assume Yesh. You can't. We know that the original Nigzal, Shimon, the original Nigzal was Miyayish. I don't know that Yehuda was Miyayish. So if Yehuda wasn't Miyayish, there was only Shinu Rishus, and there was not Yeish, and that's why Yehuda would still have some sort of taina over here. The Rashbam says that the case is that Reuven sold the object to Levi without achrayus, that it's dafka that he sold it without achrayus. So Tosos in Dibra Maskel Dafka explains, because if he sold it with achrayus, the nigzal would be considered nogea be'edus, and he wouldn't be able to be made for the lokeh. Why? Because even if there is yesh and shin rishus, in the end of the day, Shimon will still be able to be motzi the field from Levi, the lokeh, because Levi would have no loss from that, because he'd go and get paid back from the mocher who sold it to him ba'achrayus. So it would still be nogea be'edus. Shach writes, there's no chiluk over here whether he sells it ba'achrayus or not ba'achrayus, unlike the Rashbam, who says that it's dafka a case of shaloba achrayus. So anyway, so because the seifa had to have a case of shina rishus, and that's the only way the seifa's case is going to work, where the guy's not going to be nogea beidus, so tana resha nami machar. So the resha also, just to keep things consistent, also talks about a case of machar, which means it also talks about a case of shina rishus. So now the Gemara asks that even in the seifa with the parah and the talis, the nigzal should be nogea bedavar. Why can he be meyin? Meaning, after all, the seifa nami, even in the seifa where he sold a parah or a talis and he sold it to somebody else, why is Shimon the nigzal able to be meyin for Levi the lokeach? Nihi de miyayish migufei. I understand that he's miyayish from ever getting the exact object back, because he had yeush and the shinu rishus, so he knows he's never going to get his cow, his talis. But midmei miyayish, is he mochel the money that the object is worth? Meaning Reuven is still going to have to pay him whatever it was worth. Reuven stole from Shimon. So even though Shimon had all the yeush in the world, Reuven still owes Shimon the money. So doesn't that make Shimon a nogea b'davar? To be made that the object should still belong to the lokeach and not go to Yehuda the Ma'arer, in order that I should be able to claim the money of the object, the value of the object from Reuven. And even though Reuven might be able to say to him that there are shnei kitei edim that are so one another, I'm somich on Yehuda's edim, and therefore I don't owe you anything. But Reuven could make a deal with Shimon, that since Shimon and Yehuda could write a shtar harsha'ah with each other, and together they could be tovei Reuven, so that puts Reuven a little bit of a disadvantage. So if the talis and the para were to go to Yehuda the ma'arer, then Shimon is not going to ever get paid back from Reuven. So Reuven will be able to tell him, I didn't steal this object from you. Obviously, I stole it from Yehuda, and that's why Yehuda is the one that won the case. That's why Yehuda is the one that got it back, and therefore I owe you nothing. So why is it? So Vaiter Kasha, why is it when you steal a para or a talis and you sell it to somebody else, can the nigzal be made on it? The Gemara is asking, the nigzal should always be nogea be'edus. He wants the gazlan to have it so that, granted, he's not going to get back the para, he's not going to get back the talis, but he'll get back the money that it's worth. The Ramban points out this kasha doesn't necessarily follow from what we just the discussion we just had about the shina rishus. Meaning, this kasha is an independent kasha. This kasha just goes back on Rav Sheshet's understanding of the Braisa. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily have to follow about that the Reisha only mentioned Machar Liacher Agav the Seifa, and therefore we have this kasha. No, this kasha, the Gemara just stam. It could have asked this kasha anyway, that the whole Seifa doesn't make sense, because he's still considered considered nogeya be'edos. It's just that Ramban says the Gemara first wanted to make the Reisha really solid to understand the Reisha really well, and now we move on to trying to understand the Sefer really well. So in understanding the Reisha, we had a problem. Why is there a Mecher? So we said, Enochinami, you didn't really need that for the Reisha. The Sefer had to have a case of Mecher for Yeish, Rishin, Rishus, and therefore we included that extra step in the Reisha. And now we're moving on to the Sefer and saying, well, wait a second. Even with a Mecher, the Sefer doesn't make sense because he's still not, he's still going to be Nogea Be'edos. So it says, Marlo Tzricha, the Braisa, when it says that he could be made on the Paro or the Talis, is demis Gazlan. It's that the Gazlan died and he didn't leave any karkaos that the Nigzal is going to be able to collect from. So then the Nigzal gives up not only on the Gzela, but on the Demei HaGzela as well, because he's not going to be able to get that from the Lokeach, because the Lokeach was calling the Gzela with Yeish and Shin Rishos. The Yorshim of the Gazlan don't have to pay anything. Because the Mishnah in Baba Kama tells us that if someone steals and then he's machil the Gzela to his children, or he dies and he leaves the gzeila lefneim, peturim milashalim. They do not have to pay. Yorshim don't have to pay for that which their father stole, and therefore the nigzal can be made for the lokeach of this paro or of this talis, because the nigzal has no chance. He has no chance of getting the item back because of yeish v'shinoi rishos. He has no chance of getting the money back because the guy is dead. So I asked the Gemara of Sheshes, why does the Brice have to tell me the din where the Gazlan had sold the field? I mean, once anyway, we're going to say that the Gazlan died, so there's your Shini Rishos. It goes to his children, right? You don't need him to have sold it in order to have a Shini Rishos. So Sheish has understood that the Reisha of the Brisa is talking about Gazal and Machar La'acher, and the only reason he said in the Reisha that it's Machar La'acher is because of the Seifa of the Brisa, that by the Talis and the Para, that where you're allowed to be made, that it must be that it's Machar La'acher, and then the Gazlan died, where the Nigzal is not able to collect the gzela from the Yarshim nor from the Lokach, because there's Yeish and Rishina Rishos. So ask the Gemara, Velukma Biyoresh. Let the Braisa say it's din in a case where the Sada is in the hands of the Gazlan. He never sold it to anybody else, but he died, and his children got it. So why does the Braisa have to be dochek and explain the din of Gazal, Machar Li'acher, and then Mesa Gazlan? You could have just said the din where the Gazlan never sold it to anybody else. The Gazlan just died, and he was morishit to his children. So Reuven, again, the case we're suggesting is that Reuven stole a field from Shimon. Reuven dropped dead. Levi, his son, was yoresh that field. And then Yehuda comes and is ma'arer that the field really belonged to me the whole time. So the halach is that Shimon, the Nigzal, cannot be made for Levi against Yehuda because he's no gabadavar, that he'd rather the field remain in Levi's possession so that later on I'll bring a raya that Levi stole it, that Levi stole it from me, and I'll be that Levi's father stole it from me, and I'll be motzi miyado. But if Yehuda was able to win that case and get it from Levi, then Shimon will never be able to get that field back because they both have Eidim that it belongs to them. And whenever you have a suffix, they'll just leave it with the muchsak, and Yehuda at that point will be the muchsak. And in that way, the Braisa distinguishes in the Seifa that if Reuven stole a talis or a para from Shimon, and then Reuven dropped dead, and his son yarshed it, so Shimon could be made for Levi, Reuven's son, against Yehuda, the Ma'arer, because he's not Nogea B'davar, because you're never getting it back anyway. So again, there's still an extra step over here. It didn't need to be a Mechira, because even with the Mechira, we have to say that the Gazlan died. So you don't need a Mechira. So it says, Marahanich Lamad Yom Roshos Yoresh, Lav Kirushos Lokeach Dami Shapir. Now I understand very well why the Braisa had to have a case of selling it, according to the Shita that holds that Roshos Yoresh is not considered Rishos Lokeach Legabi Shin Rishos. So Gazlan, who is Morish the Gzela to his son, is not called a Shin Rishos, and the Yoresh is not Kona the Gzela. So since the Gzela is still around, it's still considered to be intact, so it would go back to the Nigzal. So the Nigzal then, Taka would be Nogea Be'edos. He wants it by the Yoresh, because Because he can actually get it back from the Yoresh. But if you hold that the Yoresh is not just considered an extension of his father, he's considered a Shina Rishus. He's considered another step. He's considered to be just like a Lokeach. Well, then, Michael LeMaymer. Well, then, we've added this extra step of him selling it. The guy dropping dead would be good enough to affect a Yeush followed by a Shina Rishus. And another kasha, va'od kasha leila Abaye, another kasha Abaye has a Rav Sheshes, that according to Rav Sheshes, that the Brice is talking about where it was stolen and then sold to somebody else, we have to explain the lashon of the Brice. It says, ein meid lo aleha mipnei she'achriyuso alav, that the nigzal has an achrayus and a zuchus on someone who's made for him, meaning the nigzal is ultimately going to take it back from the lokeach because he has his chus in this item, and that's what makes him nogeya be'edus. Mepresha achriyuso alav ve'ein achriyuso alav. Is that what the phrase achriyuso alav and ein achriyuso alav means? We never find achriyuso alav is going on the lokeach. Achriyuso alav that he has achrayus on it is always on the mocher. Mneshi chozeres lo ve'ein chozeres lo mi bayalei. The Brisa should have said that when he sold him the house or the field, the nigzal is not able to be made for the lokeach. Because he's no gabadaver, since he wants the karka to stay with the lokeach, so that afterwards he'll get the field back from him by bringing his rayas that it was stolen from him. And when he sells him a paru or a talis, he can be made for the lokeach because it's not choser eslo. It's not going to go back to him because the lokeach had acquired it with yeush and shina rishus. So it's really about, will this ever come back to me? Choseroslo, ain't a choseroslo. That's the proper lashon to use. The Ritva says, yeah. And Rav Sheshes understood that achrayus over here is milashon achris v'tikva. That achrayus olav means I have hope. I have a dream of getting it back. So that's what achrayus olav. The problem that Abaye has with that is that nowhere in all of Shas is that what achrayus olav means. It's just not the lashon of the. So you can quote me psukim where in Tanakh sometimes achrayus achris. But that's not what it ever means in all of Shas. The Gemara has its own language, and you're not being consistent with the language of the Gemara. So because of that, because of these kashas on Rav Sheshes' understanding of the Brisa, the Gemara says we need to suggest a second understanding of the Brisa. The Rashbam writes, look, Rav Sheshes is correct, la halacha, Rav Sheshes' din is correct, it's just not what the Brisa is saying, right? Meaning if what Rav Sheshes says the Brisa said would actually happen, where there's a guy who steals a field from somebody else and he turns around and sells it, so then the original guy, the original nigzal, would not be able to be made, but the original, if it was a talis and a cow, he would be able to be made. That's all true. It's just not what the Brisa is saying for the reasons that we just explained. That first of all, there's an extra step. You don't need him to have sold it because he could have just dropped dead. And second of all, achrius olav, the language is all off. So because of those two kashas, we need to come up with another explanation of the Brisa. The halacha is true, but we need another explanation of the Brisa. Look at the Rav and Bar Shmuel. The Reisha of the Brisa is coming to teach me the din of Rav and Bar Shmuel. The Amar Rav and Bar Shmuel Meshmei de Shmuel Hamokher Sadel Chaver Shaloba Achrayus. The person sells a field to his friend that was Meshubah to a Balchov. It was, this field is, I have a lot of debt. I owe people money. And I have this field and I sold it to you. And now my balichov might come and take it from you. And I'm not mekabel achrayus. If they take this karka from you, you're not going to be able to come back to me to collect any of your losses. So if the ma'arer comes and claims that the field was his the whole time, and then ein meid lo aleha, the guy who sold it is not able to be one of the edim to keep it in the hands of the guy who purchased it. Why? I want the guy who purchased it to still have it because my Bali Chov are going to come knocking one day. They're going to come looking for their money. So I need you to have it so they have from where to collect. Otherwise, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm not going to have any way to pay back these Bali Chov. If it just goes to some random person who I had no shaychus to, well, then my Bali Chov aren't going to be able to collect from it. So the Brisa, when it's, the Brisa reads as follows, the Macher lo bayis Macher lo sada, a lover who had karka that was meshuba to a Bali Chov. both. And he sold that karka to Lokech. And now a ma'ara comes and claims that it was really his field, so the mocher is not able to be made that the sada belongs to the Lokech. Mipnei shachriyuso alav. Because the achrayus of the balchov is on the mocher, that he's able, that he should be able to collect the chov from this karka. And therefore is considered nogea bedavar, because I want this karka to stay with the lokeach, so that when my balchov comes knocking, he'll have where to go. But v'dafka bayis or sada, that's only true about a bayis or a sada. Aval para vitalis, but if you sell, if he had sold a para or a talis, then it would not be the case. Then without a chayus, where you sold it to a lokeach without a chayus, and a ma'arer comes and claims that it's his, the mocher may be made for the lokeach, because mipnei she'ein achriyus olav, because the achrayus of the balchov is not on the mocher to collect his chov from metaltalim that he sold to somebody else. So it turns out I'm not nogei abadav, meaning when my bali chov come knocking, they're anyway not going to be able to collect this paro or talus that I have sold to somebody else. So the Gemara explains that even if the mocher was meshabit his metaltalim to a balchov to be able to collect that chov, he could still be made. Meaning, what's the whole kunz over here? That since it's a paro or a talus, my bali chov can't collect from it anyway. So if they can't collect from it anyway, then it doesn't bother me whether you have it or the next guy has it. So this says Gemara, and lo mi bayi, bistama, you don't even need to tell me that if the lov is sold the paro or the talus stam, that he was not miyachid the paro or the talus beferish to collect from. So then vadai the din is that if you sell it to somebody else, I mean bistama that he if he borrowed it stam without designating this as payment for the loan, to lo mishtab delay, that they're not meshubah to balchov, and the balchov will never have a claim on this paro or talis. My time, metaltalim balchov lo mishtabdi. That for sure the balchov can't collect from, because it's only metaltalim, and metaltalim is not meshubah to a balchov. Why is metaltalim not meshubah to a balchov? So the Rashbam writes, because there is no kol on the metaltalim, and therefore lukuchos can never possibly be nisar. Meaning normally the reason when someone buys something they can end up getting it confiscated, they can end up losing it, is that they should have investigated what they bought before they bought it. Well, you can only investigate things that there's information about. So you buy a field, there's information about that out there. There's no information about metaltalin, so it's impossible, and therefore it's impossible to investigate, and therefore you're never going to get it back. The Torah gives a different reason. Because we assume that the das of the malva is not somech on the metaltalin, because the lover can always be mavriach the metaltalin. Meaning, when I lend you money, I'm always looking at your real estate, because that's what I know will always be there. So if I lend you money and I need to know that I'll have where to collect from, I'm looking at your real estate holdings, because that's what I'll be able to collect from. But whatever metaltalin you have, I'm not going to rely on whatsoever, because you could just hide that. I mean, it's going to be very hard for me to go and collect the metaltalin. So for one of those two reasons, the and work on why we need both reasons. Either one is good enough, but they both might be true. But for one of those two reasons, or both of those reasons, the metaltalin is not going to be meshubah to the balchov. Even though he says he is able to collect even from my begadim, that's only if the lova still has them. But once the lova has transferred those begadim or those metaltalim to somebody else, so then you can no longer collect it. Right? That phrase meglima dal kasvay is we have in the ksuba. Right? That if a husband's not able to pay the wife's ksuba, he says you can even collect the shirt off my back to collect the ksuba. Yeah, but not off of somebody else's back. Meaning once it's transferred to somebody else, then she's not going to be able to collect from it. That's the din of metaltalin. So again, so we're explaining that according to Rav and Bar Shmuel, the case is that that the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is in the Reisha, I sold this field, Shaloba Achrayus, so I want the guy who bought this field to have it, because my Bali Chov will be able to collect from it. But if I sold a Talis, the case of the Seifa, I sold a Talis or a Para, Shaloba Achrayus, so then I really don't care if the guy that bought it keeps it or if someone else takes it away from him, because my Bali Chov are going to have nowhere to go to collect anyway. So afilu aso apatiki, and the chiddush is that even if the lover wrote to the malva that look, if I don't pay you back, then this para, this talis will be where your payment comes from. So maybe you would think, in that case, I'm no gay abadavar, because maybe he can collect that parentalis even after I sold it. No, namilo. It's still not meshubat to the Baal Chov. The Baal Chov is still not going to be able to collect from it. My taima, kidarava. And the reason for that is, as Rava taught, da'amarava, asa avda apotiki, if a person was miyachid his eved to a Baal Chov, that you'll always be able to go collect from this eved. And then, umacharo, but then he turned around and he sold that eved, Baal Chov gova mimenu. The Baal Chov can collect from that eved. But shoro v'chamara apotiki umacharo ein balchov gove emenu. But if I made my shor or my chamar an apotiki and then I turned around and sold it, my balchov will have nowhere to collect from. My time. What's the difference between an evid on the one hand and a shor and a chamar on the other hand? Hayis leikala v'halas leikala. That when you're miyachid your evid to a balchov, that he can collect that chov from that evid. There is a call to it. There's a pirsum. Everyone is going to know about it. The Ritva writes that because it's a very clearly defined thing, everyone will see this Eved, they recognize him, and they say, oh, that's Avdo Shel Ploni, that's Reuven's Eved. But by a Shor or any other Metalfilim, it's not such a clearly defined object, and it doesn't carry its Bailim's name on it wherever it goes. The Rush writes in the Tshuva, no, there's another reason why there's a call, because the Eved, you know, when he's at parties, people say, hi, what's your name? And he says, oh, I'm so-and-so, the Eved of whatever. So he's the call, meaning he'll get the word around. The talis doesn't go around talking about its history, so it's not going to be as much of a call. So the lekuchos should have known and been careful before buying an evet. So when they bought an evet, heim of sidu al atzmam, they're the ones that are taking the risk. But when you're miyachid a shor or a chamor or a talis for that matter to a balchov, that there's not going to be any call, and the lekuchos should had no way of knowing about that, and therefore you can never take it away from the lekuchos. So even in the case of the brisa, in the case of the brisa where the para and the talis are not meshubat to the Baal Chov, it's even if they were made into an apotiki, and that's why the mocher could still be made for the lokeach, because he has no benefit one way or the other. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second, it still doesn't make sense why by the para and the talis the mocher could be made that the para and the talis belong to the lokeach. Granted, they're not meshubat to a Baal Chov, but v'lecho shtul ma'akni le'mitatli agav mekarkoi, shouldn't we be choshish that maybe the mocher was makne to his Baal Chov the metaltalim agav karkaos that are meshubat to him in order that he'll be able to collect the chov from those metaltalim? So meaning you could be meshabed metaltalim even though normally when you sold metaltalim to somebody else the Baal Chov cannot collect from them, but if I was meshabed metaltalim with a kinyan agav a karka, then a Baal Chov can and come and collect from them. After all, Dama Rabba, Iyakli Metalti Agav Mekarkai, if the Baal Chov is Maknez Metaltalim, Agav the Karka, that's Meshubah to him, to collect from, Kani Mekarkai, Kani Metaltali. So he now has rights to collect from both of them, both from the Karka and the Metaltalim. Vam Rav Chista, and Rav Chista just elaborates, V'hu Dekasav Le, Delok Asmachta, Delok Stav Se Dishtari. That's only if he writes in the Shtar that he's being Meshabed the Metaltalim, Agav the Karka, and not like an Asmachta Bialma. It's a real full-fledged Shibud. And he has to write Delok Asmachta because it's not really a Mechira, it's a Shibud, meaning I'm not really selling you we know of kinyan agav that you can make a kinyan on metaltal and agav the karka, that you make a kinyan on the karka and you call it metaltal as well. It's not really what's happening over here. You're not owning this. It's that a shibud is being created on it, that since I owe you money, so we're making that the shibud that you have against my property, the lien you have against my property, is not only against my real property, it's against my metaltal as well. So it's not a real transaction of an item that you now own. So because of that, it smells a little like a smachta, and therefore you need to spell out the lo kasmach. Meaning normally the way that we make things not an asmachta is just by not doing an asmachta. Meaning an asmachta means that it's all up in the air, that if this happens, then that, and I don't really believe this is going to happen. So this isn't exactly an asmachta, but it's close enough to an asmachta that we have to make it clear that it's the lok hasmachta, and also the lok katofsi dishtari. A shtar is sometimes written up as just a sample copy and not meant to be used to collect with. So we have to write, and this is not a joke, this is not a sample copy, this is the real deal. So since metalton in such a way can become meshubad agav the karka, and can become meshubad to a balchov, and therefore the balchov will be able to collect from those metalton even after they've been sold to somebody else. So shouldn't we vaiter be concerned? How can it be that the mocher is going to be made on behalf of the lokeach? He is nokeach bedavar, or he might be, because who knows? Maybe he was meshabed this metalton and agav the karka. So now the case is that we're able to be made about this part of this talus that he had sold, that as soon as he purchased the part of the talus, he sold it right away. He flipped it immediately. There was no time in between for him to be meshabited to his balchov, and that's how I know that he hadn't been meshabited to his balchov, because he didn't leave any time to be able to do so. Wait, but maybe he was meshabited, and he was saying that I'll be meshabit to my balchov any metaltalin that I will buy. And therefore, the second he bought it, it became meshubah to the balchov. And then he turned around and sold it, and therefore he's vaiter nogebez. So shamet mina, no, what you see from there is diikni, if you're meshabi the nechasim that you're going to be kona, so kona umachar, kona vahorish lo meshtabed. And then you purchase something in the future, and then you sold it, or you purchase something, and then you remorish it, it does not create a shibud for the balchov. So that's why the guy is not nogea be'edus, because we have a nokimta. He's not the mocher, he's not nogea be'edus to keep it in the hand, to keep the talus or the para in the hand of the lokeach, because his balchov can't collect from it anyway. Maybe there was a shibud. No, we have this crazy ukimta that he bought it and sold it immediately, so we know that he never created a shibud. So the Gemara says a different possible suggestion, rather than that he bought it and sold it immediately. Now, maybe another crazy ukimta, that the case is that the Edom say that we know about this mocher that he never ever owned property. So if he never owned property, then you don't have that concern that maybe he was meshabe the metaltalin agav the karka together with the metaltalin, if you think he never ever owned property. So the Gemara says the mocher should still be considered nogea b'davar, because if the ma'ar is going to take the talis, so the lokeach will come back to this guy. V'amrav papa avkav dam rabban mochsel lechaver shalav achrayus uba balchov trofa enu chozer lav nimtzei sheinu shalav chozer lav. But wait, even though we say that if you sell a field to somebody shaloba achrayus and the balchov takes it away from him, so he has no recourse, meaning I sold the field without achrayus, that's why I sold it without achrayus. So if it gets taken away from you by my balechov, you have no taina on me. But if it's nimsei sheinu shalav, if it turned out that I sold you the Brooklyn Bridge, if it turned out I sold you something that never belonged to me, then even if it was without achrayus, then you can come back to me, because that's ridiculous. Meaning I sold you something that I didn't own, so that is not a function of achrayus and not achrayus. You can always come back. So over here also, when I sold you a paru or a talis, and the ma'arer is claiming that it was his the whole time, Yehuda comes and claims it's mine the whole time. So the mocher is vaiter nogea be'edos, because if the paru would go to the ma'arer because it's really his and really was his, it turns out that I was a ganav, I had stolen it. I sold you something that was stolen property, and the halacha is that the lokeach will be able to come back to me to get it. So doesn't that make me nogea be'edos? So says Gemara, hachamayaskinan, the Bryce is talking about a case b'makir that the lokeach recognized this para, that it's the bas of the para of the mocher, and he admitted that in front of Edim, that he knows that this was not, that the guy he's buying it from did not steal it, and or he was moda that this talis, I know it belonged to the mocher. And in such a case, even if the ma'arer somehow is able to win a court case by bringing a de sheker and taking that para from the lokeach with the taina that it's his, the lokeach can't come back to the mocher and say, it was never yours, how did you sell it to me? You were moda that it was mine, you knew it was mine, and you know that this whole thing is a joke, that the fellow, that Yehuda who's coming and making claims on it doesn't have any real claims, doesn't have any legitimate claims to it. So that must be the case where he's not going to be nogea bedavar, because the mocher is not going to be nogea bedavar. because the lokeach could never come collect from him anyway. Now Rav Zvid disagrees with Rav Papa. Rav Zvid Amar, even though the lokeach is not makir the para, that it belonged to the mocher could still be made on behalf of the lokeach against the ma'arer, against Yehuda, and he's not considered nogeya bedavar, because the din is that someone who sells a field shelo b'achrayus, afilu nimse sheina shelo eino chozer lav, tam leilach izbin elach shelo b'achrayus. Meaning we made a chiluk before we said that if I sell a field shelo b'achrayus and my bal chov takes it from you, you have no recourse to come back to me. But if I sold the field shelo b'achrayus and I never owned it, then you can come back to me. Rav Zvid says, I disagree. Even if it turns out I never owned it, you can't come back to me. You're supposed to do your research. And if I never owned it, why do you think I sold the shelo b'achrayus? Because I knew I had a stolen field. So that's why I sold the shelo b'achrayus. And that's why this guy is not going to be considered a Nogea Be'edus. Okay, Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Gufa, four lines from the bottom of the page. Have a great day, everybody.